Powered by Riverside.
Welcome to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. This is Volume 2, Episode Number 39. I am your host, C. Willie, joined again this week by the wonderful and talented
Butter Peep.
Oh, she's there. She is. The other day we said she had me taped to the chair. She is keeping me in the basement, but she took the tape off. So I'm happy.
Privileges.
A little more freedom. We are absolutely fired up about this week's guest. I've learned about him through our association with Alan Turner and Steel Horse Band Jackie Daniels. He has his own things going on. We're going to talk about that today. He's wait till you hear this guitar work. Mojo Bose, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is great.
Well, as I mentioned, we first met you or got familiar with your work with Alan Turner, but you've been doing this for a very long time. Tell us a little bit about your entree into the music business and influence.
I when you say a very long time, it's like this
well,
this white goatee gives it away. Yes.
Hey, check out this. You know,
yes. Yes. I started to play at 15, and the credit goes to the fact that the guy that I knew as my mom's, my grandpa, it was actually my grandma's second husband. Mm-hmm. And he sat around and played guitar and sang like Anne Murray songs. And my mom and a few of my aunts, they would just kind of sit around and sing at my grandma's house. I say nicely, like I wasn't from like a hugely musical family,
mm-hmm.
but there was a piece that my mom liked to sing, and my grandma loved Roy Orbison, and so it was like memories of that type of thing. But my grandpa really was that I saw him playing this beat up acoustic guitar, and I thought it was a memory. And then I had a friend when we were like sixth grade, and he goes, "Man, we should start a band." And it wasn't until I thought I was going to play drums in this fictitious band as we were in sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
A few years later, I ended up buying his electric guitar from him. We never formed a band. And I bought his electric guitar from him, and then I asked my mom and my dad. I was like, I wanted to take guitar lessons, and actually, only because I have a lot of guitars.
see enough of them back
then. And this is like, so I like sitting with them because it's like the Paul Stanley effect. I always feel like Paul Stanley doesn't do anything with a guitar, but he looks cooler when he's with one. But I'm off camera, but I keep this is my first guitar. I keep it right here next to me. So I learned on this one, and then I took lessons for a few years, and then I got the bright idea somewhere in taking lessons. I was like, "Hey, I'll go to school for music,"
right.
And I thought, that will pay the bills. So I went to Bowling Green State University, and I studied music there. I was in the guitar program, and my mom. I remember like the first time that my mom took me to like orientation. They said, "What are your musical influences?" And I was sitting around the table with a few other people who were going into the School of Music, and they're like, "This classical artist and this classical composer." And it got to me, and I said, "Jimi Hendrix and Steve Ray Vaughan." And my mom goes, "And Vivaldi."
seem to help out there a little bit.
Yeah, your she's like, all awesome. Right. So she wanted me to seem a little bit more legit, you know. But it was, but I studied music at Bowling Green, and through Bowling Green, I also was able to go down south. I did like one of those exchange programs with another school, and I studied music down south in Baton Rouge, Louisiana for a year. And I studied with a cool, like, legendary, and I didn't know it when I signed up for the classes, but then I studied with a legendary jazz clarinet player that had worked with, like, Dr. John, and he was, like, known around the New Orleans area. And, like, he gave me really interesting opportunities, and he was like, the jazz cat that you would think he would have been. He's like, hey, man, you know, he was like really cool. And he'd always show up late. And, you know, you're like, hey, he's late. Who cares? And
we get and, hang with
and his name was Alvin Batiste.
Okay.
Oh.
And he worked with Professor Longhair. And it was like, he had all these, and it was like, wow, man, his resume is crazy. And he said, hey, man, write a piece. Well, I didn't really realize that I was trying to come up with a song, and then I had to learn how to orchestrate it. And I had like a saxophone player helping me, and we played it at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival later that year. And I go, who would have thought that? So it was an interesting, like that was my the start of my music from the college time, and then.
Great experiences, though, and
yeah,
I'm sure
it was just like
from Bowling Green down to Baton Rouge, I'm sure you got exposed to things that you normally wouldn't.
No,
had
yeah.
you played there at BG.
Absolutely, it was a great experience all the way around, and humorously also, I didn't get to experience July in Louisiana until I got there.
Oh no,
a little warm.
Yes, I'd call back when there was like no cell phones. I'd call and they'd say, so how is it? And it was like October, and I said, I'm now able to wear pants.
Yes, sir.
And they're like, what are you talking about? And I was like, it's so hot right now and humid, you only wear shorts, like,
yeah,
you can't. So but yes, it was a great experience musically. I was basically 45 minutes from New Orleans,
yeah,
and I had a car, so I could drive everywhere, and I could see all of that part of the country. And it was so experiencing. It was awesome. I could like I drove to Lafayette and went to like a Mardi Gras parade, like just on a whim, and then I could like drive to. It was like everything. All within, like, I guess from like where I am, I'm in a suburb of Toledo, so Sylvania.
Yeah.
So Toledo to Ann Arbor, it's like 45 minutes. Well,
New Orleans. Oh, that's so. What a great experience. And it certainly shaped, I'm guessing, and I know things have evolved over your career, but that certainly served as a great basis for the riffs and the sounds that we hear
absolutely.
From you.
Absolutely.
Not just your solo work or your work with the Noble Jones, but certainly the things that we hear up on stage with the Steel Horse Band and others. It's a unique sound that you have. How would you describe your own sound?
You know, it's funny. I started to think about this because you sent me the questions, and I was like, man, I gotta start like, I had a few different ways. The simplest way, which was kind of vague, but I basically said, I would say rootsy with soul, because like what I like, everything I like has like a, there's from like me as a guitar player and if I'm singing and playing, it would be rootsy and it would be soulful and it wouldn't matter what it is. And so that was like the generic thing, because it was, I like a lot of different styles, but they all would be the rootsy and soulful versions of them. Like if I like country, it's old Willie and Hank Williams, but it's like they have a soul to them. I like old blues, but blues, it's got like a soul and rootsiness to it. But if I like rock stuff, it still has, there's like roots and soul. So it's in a lot of those different like areas. It's like, but then to be, you know, maybe with, when I start to sing and do tunes, the stuff I write, I started to go, well, what would I call the stuff like that I write? Like, can I, and it's almost like, how much, what category do I put myself in? Cause you know, like everybody puts us in categories. But then I started to think I'm a guitar driven alt country.
Okay.
Because, I play guitar. I love guitar. Is like, if I, you know, on my tombstone, it will say like, I love guitar. I love music, you know, it's like, cause I love guitar first cause it makes music, but, you know, but guitar is just like always in my brain. So
well, I think from what you're describing, and I certainly understand what you're saying, roots in soul, and the three songs that we've got queued up tonight for the program, you can hear that in all three of those songs. When you say roots and soul, yeah, it's there in all three of these.
Yeah, and it's, and I was like, it's funny, I was asking my wife, I've been singing the band I have for almost 20 years. And so I started late in the fact that I didn't start singing right away. I played guitar for quite some time, and then the need to sing came along. And early on, somebody said that I sounded like Lyle Lovett.
Whoa.
And I was like, it was one of those like, I like Lyle Lovett.
Yeah.
Okay. But I didn't see it in my singing. And then I asked her just recently, I said, remember? And she goes, yeah. And I go, anyone else? And she goes, well, you sound like you. And I go, well, thanks, honey.
And that's a great compliment, too. Now, this first one that we've got queued up is called Run. This is an instrumental. It has some unique riffs to it. And there are some unique sounds in the back of this, too, supporting the song. Can you tell me a little bit about it and what is some of what we're going to be hearing, not just from your guitar, but some of that back song?
Yeah. I can tell you, I didn't even plan this, but I'm glad that I, so like some of the stuff that I do, it's called library music. Think of it as like, every time that you see a commercial or if you see a TV show or a movie, cinematic stuff, the incidental music that is in the background of everything you see.
Yeah.
So you may not even pay attention to it. That's kind of like this concept of library music. I didn't make up the name. It's just like, that's what it's called.
Sure.
And I started to realize, I have a guy I know that kind of turned me on to this idea, and I have a connection with him. And so library music is basically this idea of like background music in movies. That's kind of how I would say it. But this weird microphone is an old ham radio microphone.
Okay.
It's a crystal microphone. And so I had to, I bought some of these off of a guy online. I went to his house, showed up, and I go, hey, man, he had a few of these. And he goes, come on in. I'll pick the best ones for you. And these are old like ham radio microphones. Mm-hmm. And so for the background of that tune, I hit a stick on my desk right here and recorded it with this because it's kind of a crappy microphone. And so the rhythm in the background is basically me hitting the table with a stick to get some of the rhythmic stuff.
Yeah.
And then I took like when you're on a guitar, you can't hear it as much. All these like weird sounds that you can get. I did some of that, and like, so it's like noises that were overprocessed. I took the end of a guitar cable and I like touched it with my finger and like put some noises in the background. So it's like, it's kind of a, it's all these like weird noises to make up the background of the track.
I absolutely love that.
It's just like I had an idea, and then I didn't call it anything. When I do these type of tunes, sometimes I'll call them a name just like after I kind of get a gist of where it's going. That has nothing to do really with how it's going to be used. I just kind of give it a name so I can, like, it's almost like file it away so I can find it later. And then when my brother heard that one, he's like, man, this needs to be the intro to some gritty cop drama.
Well, I can't wait to hear it now.
And I said, yeah, how do we make this happen? Because I like that idea, you know.
Well, you know a guy.
Yeah, and then all the other stuff is, it's like, it is, again, it is very guitar-driven. Mm-hmm. But with, and like, that's like the, I tell people my brain kind of, I have like the side where I would say, well, I'm composing. This would be a composition, right? You're composing. It has all this kind of interesting stuff going on. And if I write a song, I write a song. So if somebody would say, yep, well, aren't you composing then? And I'd say, yeah, but your brain kind of looks at it different. I wasn't going to sing this. It's had like different layers and kind of, you can go more places. Actually, well, maybe not even more. It's almost like yin and yang, right? You get this, right. Like, when I write a song and you sing words, people can interpret the meaning of the words, but the words are still present. You take away the words and you just have melodies that flow, and then all of a sudden people, like, we perceive it differently.
Well, let's perceive this one. This is
Rome. Let it roll. Where the credits roll.
I can definitely see the cop drama as part of that.
Yeah, somebody's smoking a cigarette and you got like the counter up.
Yeah. You know, it's cool. And that's one of the things that we love about doing this podcast so much, is getting the backstory on those and then having you share with us what the elements were that made up those library song sounds.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you pick that out and go, oh, okay, I know what that is. Now that's
yeah, really, you can hear, like, it's like when you hear it, nobody would pay attention and go, oh, that sounds like a stick hitting a table.
But, you know, interesting too, and you made mention of the difference in the process when you're writing what we would say is the stage song versus what we just heard with Run. But when you're writing something with words, what is your process as you're doing this? And I'm sure it's different from each type of song that you're writing, whether you're going to be singing, or the process may be different when you're putting together something like Run.
Absolutely. Yeah. The from a singing standpoint, a ton of times. I would say if I'm going to write a tune, a line usually is the thing that starts. I always tell people about like the seeds of ideas. I always try to save every seed that I come up with because I don't know. I always tell people, you know, it's the cliche is like, you can't buy lightning in a bottle. And I was like, yeah, you can't go to the grocery store and pick up like two bottles of inspiration, you know, because people would think like, you go, oh, two bottles of inspiration. People would think, it's like everybody drinks to get inspired. And I'd say, no, not at all. Like, that's not even close to what it is. That these seeds of ideas, I know my creative process, that when it comes to writing a song that I'm going to sing, it can be something very small, like a few words that I attach a melody to and I can sing it into my phone. And that seed doesn't mean that I have to like, oh man, I got to plant that seed tomorrow. If I hold on to that creative spark, that seed, I can go back to it and basically kind of put work into it to grow the idea later on. But if I don't, and myself, anywhere, I kind of explain it like, it's like there's always a chance that you can see a spark of inspiration, like wherever it is, they can see it anywhere. And it doesn't mean like, I'm not like, I'm Picasso. I just like everywhere I'm like throwing ideas out. It's not necessarily that, but at the same time, my brain looks for them. I used to drive back and forth from Bowling Green. And I always told myself when I would drive, I'd like look at the clouds and go, man, these clouds look like paintings. And I wonder how many people see them as paintings or they just see them as clouds. Mm-hmm. And so it's like the inspiration is all there. Mm-hmm. It's like finding it and like getting that seed of an idea. Sometimes I wake up with an idea and I kick myself because I didn't get out of bed and like record it in my phone or write down. It's like there's a lot of seeds that have gone, like they've died because I've gone like, what was that great idea that I had? And sometimes I wake my wife up because she's like, what were you doing awake at like 3:30 in the morning? And I said, I don't know. I woke up and I had an idea. Yeah. So like but it's the seeds of ideas are those things that from a writing standpoint, from a singing standpoint, generally a lot of inspiration does happen from like the words, like a few words really will. And then the music portion, because the trained portion of my brain, like I worked at guitar, I understand music theory, I can put musical ideas together. I've studied a lot of music. The seed is the part I can't go out and get, but all the other stuff, I can grow an idea and I can expand out on ideas much more kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't say systematically, but I can come up with something and kind of go, hey, that sounds good. All the tunes that, the next two tunes, every bit of them is kind of like they started that way where they were like a seed of an idea that was maybe a phrase of words attached with maybe a piece of how I was going to sing it. But then the next piece was I expanded it with like a melody here and a melody there. And the melody could have been a bass line or a guitar part or in, you know, the one tune, there's like some strings and all that stuff. It's like all of the expansion. So, but the seed is always one of those things that's
absolutely love that concept of the seed, and we're going to grow this. And like you say, it may be this week, it might be 6 months from now that seed germinates and we start to get the song. And yes. The next one that we have up here, I've really fallen in love with this song.
Thank you.
I have my own idea of what it's about, and I'm really interested to hear from you what You're a Gift represents.
It probably is somewhat, you would look at it and think it is obvious, or not obvious, but like, but the inception of the idea, simply maybe, and then with the, well, we'll expand on it. I have my wife and I have two daughters that are 17 and 14. And basically I would say my wife and my children are 100% like at times they're like, they're like, they're my world.
Yeah.
And so I always look at them for inspiration. And when I write a lot of songs, I look at how I can make it not just about like one single thing, but still I see them in a lot of my songs. Mm-hmm. So, and actually in songs that I'm demoing now, I would say the same, like I have some other songs and it's like they're in them because there's, it's like, you know, because I love my kids and my wife.
Absolutely.
And the inspiration for this song, it really, you know, my oldest is 17. And to say that teenage girls can be difficult. I know that teenage guys can be difficult too. I was once a teenage guy, and I'm sure that I was difficult.
Yes.
There was a patch of time that our relationship was very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to continually argue. And instead, I went to the other side and said, and I'm a man of faith. So I was like, you know what? I thought of the idea was to express that she, even in the frustrating and the very tense times that that I always see her, and I see my wife and my other, I see my family as a gift, and it, after I wrote it, I actually presented it. I was actually on the road with Alan, and it was her birthday, and I made a short little video, and I like told her, I was like, hey, go downstairs and like watch this video, and there was the song, and but I started to realize afterwards that as I sang it more, I realized that my extended family became like, I was like, well, wait, like there, it's like, I could sing this to like my mom, or I could sing it to like, I have two sisters and a brother. And yes. I was like, or my niece or my nephew. And I started to realize that it was like, and maybe then I started to realize, it's like, wow, man, my life is a gift. It's like, so it was like, you know, yeah, it just kind of like bloomed out. But the inspiration was a pretty stressful year plus, you know, it was primarily my eldest daughter and I, and so it was really that, and that's why like in the tune, lines like, I just want to sing you a love song. I realized, well, everybody I love, I probably would tell them that. I'd be like, well, I just, you know, you want to have like something, not just like, not like a nicety, but it's like, mm-hmm. but you know, when your family really means something, you go, well, hey, I want to sing you like a love song, not have like this tension.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely. So, all right. Well,
definitely.
The backstory there, I think this is going to have even more meaning to our listeners. Let's give this one a listen. You're a gift.
Thank you. You're a gift put on my arms and shoulders. I carry anything to help you win. You're a gift more precious than oceans of diamonds. You are my blood, you are my kin. You're a gift. You're a gift. You're a gift. Sometimes I struggle with your language. I just wanna sing you a love song. You're a gift, but you don't wanna listen, 'cause everybody's telling you I'm wrong. But you're a gift. You're a gift. I look back and remember January to December, sunshine or snow. You're a gift, and someday you'll go away, and I'll say what I already know. You're a gift. You're a gift. You're a gift. You're a gift.
That's just a wow. Thank you for writing.
I think we both lost it.
I gotta say, on a very, very personal note, I've got a 26, almost 27-year-old daughter who is my gift, and she's about to have my first. Quarter Peep and I have been together for a couple years, and we've got grandchildren through her, but this will be my first grandchild that she's about to have. I would like to play that song when that child is born.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And I would absolutely say I'd be honored, because that's the idea. It's like that I cut that song. I sent you basically what I have. I demoed it. Mm-hmm. And I have my mom gave me this 50s tenor guitar years ago, and I basically sat down here and just like cut that with this little 50s tenor guitar. It's a 4-string guitar, so it has like a unique sound to it. Sure. And I was like, here I am playing my mom's 50s acoustic guitar that she gave me, and I'm thinking, well, I'm singing a song for my kid. And it's so it definitely And I would say yes. I'd be honored. And my hope is I'm gonna leave this one the way it is, but I'm gonna also I'm gonna add a little bit more because I intended it to be a little bit more. But when I first demoed it, it was right. I wrote it, started to kind of like flesh out the words, and then I had to basically demo it before I left on the road so I could like send it to her, so I could let her hear it. So it kind of was like, it was short notice. And so all I did was the acoustic, the vocal, and then I did that string section. And I wanted to do a little bit more with all of it, but you are absolutely, I would love for you to play that.
I appreciate it. It's going to happen. So where can we find your music? Where can we find information about where you and the Noble Jones will be playing?
Yes. MojoBose.com. I'm also on social media. If you look up Mojo Bose, you can find on Facebook. I am Mojo Bose, just as it is Mojo Bose. And then on Twitter, I'm Mojo Bose. On Instagram, strangely, I am. There's three different versions of Mojo Bose. I own them all. I guess I don't really own, but I there's three variations of Mojo Bose on Instagram. They're all me. So permutations, it's like the on most of the social media platforms, the way my name is spelled is always the same. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Instagram, I had one of my accounts that was stolen. And then 2 years later, it was I was able to retrieve only the name. Mm-hmm. So I kind of lost like a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so the account now on Instagram is MOJOBOES. It's all smushed together. Mm-hmm. Where all the other accounts are MOJOE space BOES. Okay. I have all of those on Instagram. So I also have an underscore. It's like anywhere that you find a Mojo Bose account, it's probably me because there's probably green guitars listed. and it's funny. My accounts don't have my face. I decided at some point, and maybe to my detriment, but you know, I've always like kind of like, you know, been self-deprecating in the fact that, you know, I'm like, well, you know, nobody wants to see this face. Or and I know that it's actually funny, being in the Kenny Rogers band, with Alan, people will ask, hey, do you have pics? And for the longest time, I was like, well, I really don't. Cause I probably traveled around with, you know, 5 or 7 pics and they were kind of these somewhat unique ones. And so I didn't want to hand them out cause they were like $5 or something. Right. And I was like, well, so somebody years ago, somebody said, man, you should do some sort of sketch of like your glasses and your goatee and your spiky hair because you don't really need much more of a face because we pretty much know it's you. And I go, okay. And actually one time on the road, Alan was, he goes out to the van and from like the hotel room we were in was like 3 stories up and I was sitting in the window and he took a picture and he goes, yeah, that's the room I'm in. He goes, I can see. And I was like, man, just my silhouette alone, he knew like I was in, that's the room, right? And it made me laugh, but so my face isn't on a lot of stuff because but people have told me and then so like it's probably I don't know, but it's funny. I made a pic.
There you go.
Well, that is so cool.
And it was like people kept telling me, hey, make a pic because, you know, like if, I was like, well, if I hand this out, people will know it's me because it's a green pic and it's got my my moniker.
Absolutely.
So
it's fun. That's the fun stuff.
Yeah. Did that match your guitar too? The color of the pic? Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I love it.
So but basically, if anyone sees the Seafoam Green, if any account that you see has Seafoam Green and it says Mojo Bose, it's probably me.
We know we're in the right spot.
Yes. On like Spotify and Apple Music and all those like music places, it's just my name.
Okay.
And it'll be like album covers and stuff like that. And I have an old album that I put out years ago when my wife and I got married. I put out an instrumental album, and it kind of was like the incubus for me starting a trio and kind of all the stuff that I do now. It started with that album, and I have like I put out like a 3-song Christmas. It's like a medley of Christmas songs that I did years ago. I had a few guys that I play with over, and we just kind of were running through stuff. And I listened back to it, and I thought, oh, this is kind of cool. And it was kind of like I'm always twisting and turning stuff.
Yeah.
If you hear me do stuff that would be covers, I'm always covering tunes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm almost like, I like to cross the genres, everything like I had said with like the whole roots.
I was going to say it's the root and soul that you're putting in.
Yeah. You take that treatment. We do tunes. Everything we do will be like a rootsy, soulful treatment. Like we do Faith by George Michael,
mm-hmm.
but it sounds like a country tune and it's kind of rootsy. And then we might do like, you know, a Hank Williams tune. But again, it kind of is like, it's more guitar and slide and it's kind of rootsy sounding. So it's kind of all that comes from kind of like that twisting and turning of stuff.
Well, so. this last one that we've got here.
The last one. This is good.
I love this song. And Quarter Peep has been saying, would you quit singing that? Gosh, yeah. It's just been going on and on.
Now, I want to hear. It's like, I want it because like, it's catchy.
It is.
This one, here's the good news. This one also was, when I've written songs for quite some time, and in the area where I am, like where I'm living, people know me for green guitars. People know me for playing blues and like, you know, kind of it's, and I sing bluesy stuff, but I'm not really known as like a writer, but I've written for a long time. And my wife always is encouraging. That's about like, record them, do it. Right. And when you sent me the first email and it said, send us 3 songs. The first thing I did was I go, my wife's voice in my head said, you should have demoed like the 20 songs that you have, but here I am. And so I had You're a Gift already demoed.
Oh.
And I say demo because like, yep. I want to expand them. Well, here's the fun with this next tune. I started to write this probably like a year ago. And it was basically the hook of the tune. Like I said, that seed of an idea.
Yeah.
And I kind of toyed with it. And I never really like fleshed it out. And then I started to a few months ago. Really kind of like, you know, kind of put the work in to grow the idea. And then when that email came through, I said, man, I got to get my butt in gear. And so I demoed this tune just sitting here and I was like, man, I got to grow this idea. So the process really was the song you hear started about a week and a half ago of like demoing it.
All and right.
I was like, you know, get your butt in gear. And like, so I, you know, I'm like recording it and I actually, here's the good news. That song, actually this next song, it will, by the time that this airs on November 7th, it should be on all, streaming platforms.
Oh,
I actually decided, after I demoed it, I played it for a few people. I sent it to Alan. I sent it to my wife. Just the demo.
Yeah.
Which is, it's pretty much what you guys hear. And their response was like, "Ah, that's a winner."
Oh,
and
it is?
Like, they loved it, right?
Oh, yes.
And I go, man, I got to get my butt in gear to like get this on social, on streaming platforms. So by the time that we talk, I'm like, yeah, I can say this will be out by the time that this airs on streaming platforms. The writing of the song, so that was like the recording of it was me taking that seed of an idea and like expanding on it. And, you know, all the other parts that came about were like the expansion concept. But the actual seed of the idea is I just got tired of hearing people complain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it really was that. And and a side note, which I think it goes back to the going to school down south. I had a friend that I met when I was going to school down south. And he would call out, myself included. He's like, man, he's like, you know, that it's like he would call people like, oh, man, that guy's just a bitch. He's like, because he was bitching, right? And the complainer, you know, and then he would call it out on it. He was like, don't be a bitch. Stop being a bitch. Like, yeah. Why? Because it wasn't his use of it wasn't. Like where somebody would say it was like, oh, it's that woman who's being like uppity and mean and this. It's like, no, it was just complaining and just like the over, like the, you know, you like you bitch about something. You're like, stop, you know, like, and that's why the third verse is simply the right. It's like, that's the one that encapsulates really what the song is about.
You bet.
It's like, so. And then my sense of humor, I told my wife, I said, well, I want to come up with all these different errs that, right? Cause it's like, well, and it actually, I had a list. I should go, I'll call this up on my iPad real quick. I had a list of like, when I started to write this tune, it made me laugh because I came up with all these almost, some of them were like nonsensical, right? Because I was like, you know, I told her some of them. She's like, well, don't use that. Because I said,
why not? Why?
And I was like, they're dumb. But like, I said, well, you know, if you direct, you're a director. And if you select, you're a selector. I'm just trying to find pairs.
Sure.
That's all. And I was like, well, if you pitch, you're a pitcher. And if you catch, you're a catcher, yeah. You know? And I go, but I kept going, right? I was like, I got to get better ones. And so that the ones recorded, and then here's the truth. So like, I keep coming up with pairs.
Mm-hmm.
My wife goes, you know, professor isn't the easiest word to sing along with. And I said, well, yeah, but I liked how it fit with Confess.
Yeah. Right?
So I had to, that's why it's there. And she goes, I don't know if I would have used that one. And I said, honey, I got a few more. And I said, I might add them in. I might cut another version. I said, I might just do these live. But I laughed because I was like, well, if you wheeze, you're a wheezer.
Yeah.
And if you are old, you're a geezer.
I'm with you on this.
Now here's the one. This is like, I'm not a dude who swears a lot. So for me to do this tune, actually, as I wrote the tune, I kept laughing at singing it. And I was like, but I'm not a dude who like swears like a sailor.
Sure.
So when I was like, you know, I go, but I didn't want to change it. And I'm like, I can't change it. It's like, it's got to be what it is.
The hook there, sure.
Yeah. So I, but there's the last one, which if I sang it, right, you'd be like, if you sit, you're a sitter, right? And if you shit, you get the picture.
I like that. I like that. I'm anxious to hear the sequel to this now too.
Yeah, there's a lot of them, and that was like, you know, So live, I think I probably will add some of those.
There will be some. Well, let's give this a listen. This is from Mojo Bose. You're Just a Bitch.
If you make your maker, and if you take, you're a taker. But when you're bitch, you're just a bitch. When you drink, you're a drinker. And if you stink, you're a stinker. When you're bitch, you're just a bitch. You're just a bitch. That's who you are. I hope you go fast. I hope you go far. 'Cause I'll be happier the further you are. You'll improve my health. Go bitch the song. If you're saint, you're a sainter. And if you ain't, you're an ainter. But when you're bitch, you're just a bitch. And if you profess, you're a professor. Go to church, they'll call you a confessor. But when you're bitch, you're just a bitch. You're just a bitch. That's who you are. I hope you go fast. I hope you go far. 'Cause I'll be happier the further you are. Complainer, I can't say it any plainer. You're just a bitch. You're just a bitch. That's who you are. I hope you go fast. Someone else.
Yes, sir. Improve
so
all
your health. The plug in my computer fell out.
Oh man, that's terrific. Absolutely love that. Mojo Joe's. Mojo Bows. Let's say that five times fast.
And yes.
Man, this has been fun. What a great discussion. Really enjoyed having you on tonight. Thanks so much for joining us.
Definitely, man. Thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
You bet. Hey, Quarter Peep, who do we have on next?
Yeah, so we have Michaela Koo.
All right.
She's super sweet. You guys might know her. She's always wearing like this pink cowgirl hat. So
you're going to like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, one more time, I really appreciate having you on here tonight. Mojo Bows, thank you so much for enlightening us and bringing us some really cool tunes. Thank you.
Thank you.
All of you out there in podcast land, we appreciate you listening tonight. You can find us on Spotify or whichever the platforms that you listen to. We'd also love to hear what you have to say. Turn us on to some more folks like Mojo Bows. You can reach us via email at vehiclecitysound@gmail.com. And, of course, our website's out there, vehiclecitysound.com. Thanks again for listening tonight. And, hey, everybody, be good.